It is Tuesday morning, Keith, and we always check in with the Bloomington City Council, and our contact there is our good friend Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
A little wet, a little dreary, but that's what winter does. We're not even in winter yet. Don't tell anybody that. We've still got a couple weeks before we get to winter. So wrapping up fall, wrapping up the calendar year, and as you told us last week, not a lot of agenda items left for the council as we wrap up the final month here of 2016. But what are we looking forward to at least this week?
Well, what we're going to hear this week is what we heard last week, and that is the appropriation ordinance. This is the end of the year, basically balancing of the books, shifting monies where they need to be, and closing out the year that way. And then we will move on to the fee schedule for rentals of city facilities, pretty much regarding City Hall, Council Chambers, Atrium, those areas.
Did you get much feedback on that last week during your meeting?
Not really. There were some council concerns about what groups you might end up inviting or being renting to that might embarrass the city, as kind of the gist of the comments.
There's a committee and a committee and a screening process committee.
There you go.
But that brings up a point. If it is city, you can't really tell somebody they can't, right?
That is true.
Okay.
That is true. I mean, it's freedom of speech and First Amendment rights, and all of that plays into those kinds of considerations. But what is before the council is authorizing the fee schedule itself, not criteria for who would or who would not be
sure
able to use the facilities. So, you know, I could see a convention of vacuum cleaner salespeople getting a sales training there, you know, something like that.
Exactly.
Good. Yeah. I mean, seriously. So. And then we will adopt the minimal internal control standards, which are coming forward from the state of Indiana onto municipalities. That, you know, you have internal controls in terms of where the money is, where the money goes, where the materials are, and where they're being used properly. So, and that will actually conclude our meeting. We'll have those three items, and then. We have nothing on our agenda for next week, so I'm not sure. I haven't been able to get in touch with staff at this point to see whether we have items on the agenda or not. So,
Tim,
as I said last week, it appears we're going to go out kind of quietly this year. So.
I have a technical question for you on the appropriations thing. So
yes.
Let's say that I'm XYZ department. And at the end of the year, it looks like I'm going to have $10,000 left over.
Lottery tickets.
Okay. Is it who's in charge of deciding what happens to that $10,000?
Good question.
The city controller, and it depends on the type of account it is. If it's what is called a reverting account, it will go back to the general fund. So, you know, for example, let's say the Public Works Department allocated or put aside money for salt for
right.
the winter.
Okay.
And it turns out that we had a mild winter last winter, for example, and they didn't use as much salt, so they didn't have to purchase as much salt. So that money would revert back to the general fund if they didn't purchase any didn't have the need to purchase more salt.
So basically it's leftover stuff that they needed for must-have stuff, but they didn't need it in the end, so that just reverts back into the general fund then?
That is correct.
Okay.
And then there are what are called non-reverting funds, and those are funds that there is a fund for it, and that money does not go back into that fund. So it's a non-reverting fund. So.
I get to keep the money?
No.
Okay.
It does. Basically, what that means is it does not go back to the general fund, but it stays in that fund for future use.
Right.
Does that put some departments into a situation where, hey, gang, look, it looks like we're going to have some money left over. Let's spend it on something.
Christmas party.
Well, I think that's always the concern of every administration.
You know, buy furniture,
is spent. Needlessly, but I think we have pretty good control over.
Well, it's the old joke, isn't it, Tim? If there's money in the budget, you better spend it, or they won't give me that budget money
right,
for
exactly.
next year.
Well, yes, but if you go back to Mayor Crozan's administration, he and his administration would frequently use what is called zero budgeting. So they would basically say, you don't look at last year's budget. You tell us what you need for this fourth, project what you need for the forthcoming year. Now, of course, that's kind of based on knowledge of what has transpired in the past, but it's not necessarily built on the dollar amount. So department heads were basically challenged to start with a fresh budget, zero bottom line, and how much will your personnel be? What are your travel costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
keep it lean and mean each year.
Yeah, and I think that has served us well because we do have a pretty healthy rainy day fund, and that's important. So,
do you have any projection right now of how much you might be dealing with?
No, I don't. I personally don't.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The city councilman pokes his head in every Tuesday morning just after 8:05. We saw on the front page of the paper today the Redevelopment Commission is directing $1.86 million for an offer for sites near the future Switchyard Park. What, if any, is the council's purview in this? What is your, just tell us, are you involved at all?
No, because that's redevelopment work. But I will say that as part of the team that worked on the master plan for the park, that had been one of the goals of the master plan, was to look at the surrounding areas around the park and look for development opportunities, both residential and commercial opportunities. So I think this reflects that kind of thinking that came out of that plan that was done, what are we talking about, going back 6-7 years at this point in time.
Is this $1.86 million built into the total cost that plan was put together, or is this a little bit additional to that?
That's a good question, and I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for that. Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. It says on the article, based on city documents, purchases initially were expected to add about $1.5 million to the project's cost. So the word add is in there, so that's what caused
That's
me
right.
to perk my ears up on that. But it makes sense, because if you're going to build a park, you want it surrounded by what you want it surrounded by to a degree, not what's already there.
That's true, and I think the area that they're talking about could, is prime for redevelopment. So, I think that's been a long time coming, and we've seen some activity in the area, but South Walnut Street has been that way for many, many years. So I think, time is coming. We saw Bloomington Paint go in, we saw a real estate office go in a little further down to the south. So, it's a good time for that to happen. I think the park will help spark that development. So that's all to the good.
Yes, with the obviously with the amount of people it will attract down there, that's obviously going to be part of it. Tim Mayer's our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in with us most Tuesdays until we get to the holidays here. Then we'll see Tim go away. We did a story yesterday. Margaret and I were talking about it, and we talked to Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department about this this epidemic, this issue, this problem that Bloomington as a whole is having with rampant drug abuse and needles and sharps and sharps boxes and things like that. And the article was from, I believe, Saturday's HT on local business person Sue Aguila, who I believe owns the Bloomington Bagel Company, and talking about having to train her staff to how to deal with needles and sharp boxes. And we want to put them in parks and everything. I have two questions for you. Number one, do you want to talk about this? And I know your answer is no, but we're going to anyhow. Number two is, when did we get to this point, and what role will the city council have involved? Because I think there's some people from the feedback I've gotten is, who do we talk about like this? Why are there piles of needles around? How do we get this to change, stop, get better? It's not very becoming of our community.
Well, I fully understand that, but I do think we do have to recognize that this is not a Bloomington issue specifically. It's a national issue, and it's overwhelming.
But we live in Bloomington. I don't care about the national issue in that sense.
I understand that, but the use of narcotic has become rampant throughout our nation, and it's a problem that is really overwhelming the local ability to deal with it. So, I mean, we are trying to deal with it in ways that the mayor has been working on with his task force to find avenues to explore. But it, again, I just have to keep coming back to the fact that it is it's something that is in a way beyond our control. So.
Is it beyond our control because we allow it to go on and we deal with it differently than other communities, or is it just a combination of we're unlucky because we're a college town, we're unlucky because of this, we're unlucky because of that? How many other cities are we talking about that have needles piling up in parks and everything else? Is that a common issue that I just don't see?
That I can't answer you because I don't know, but.
Yeah, it's interesting though when we see in our local paper that we're asking local business owners to acquiesce to the drug user by putting in places to put their needles. That to me is interesting, and I kind of was on the business owner's side there, saying, "Well, wait a second, I've got employees making minimum wage. Now I have to teach them how to handle biohazard things because of the issue." Last time I checked, doing drugs in public was not a very legal thing going on there. So I don't know. I'm just wondering where do people call their city councilman if they have problems with this? Who's going to be the focal point of it? We know the police are busy. They're cleaning it up right now. Where do we start if we want some answers?
Well, again, you know, this is something that we have been working on. We, being a community, have been working on for quite some time, but the problem continues to escalate as opposed to de-escalate. So we're kind of at the front edge of that wave. And, you know, again, there's only so much the city can do. I mean, do we have to have a police officer on every corner? I don't think we can afford that. And that's kind of what people are aiming towards, which is, I think, kind of unfortunate. So, I mean, I do fully understand the issue of public use of facilities in businesses, and that's partly what happened at Bloomington Bagel Company. You know, somebody came in, used the restroom, and overdosed in the restroom. How do you prevent that? I'm not sure. I don't know how you do it. Do you have somebody stand at the door and say, "Are you a customer? You're going to buy a bagel and coffee and leave?"
A lot of places that have a sign on the door that says restrooms are for paying customers only. I don't know how that works. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one. And the other tough one about it is we just think putting these boxes around town are going to help everybody solve this problem of picking up their needles. I mean, that's, hey, let's, kids, what's that? Well, those are the boxes in the park that we put our needles in. I mean, if that's what we think is going to solve the problem, I don't understand that either. I appreciate you listening to my rant, by the way.
Well, I think it seems very onerous to me personally that we would have a Sharps box in a city park.
Amen. I'm with you 100%.
Okay. But if you know that activity is occurring there, that may be a solution. I'm not saying I support
right.
it.
And I'm talking out loud with you, and I'm saying if
it.
You know the that stuff's happening there, why do we let it continue? It's a park. It shouldn't be happening there. I can't go take a case of beer down to Bryant Park and get drunk and throw my beer cans everywhere. Doesn't work that way. And I'm not, this is not about Tim Aaron. I'm not fighting with Tim. I'm talking out loud here. That's the thing. For some reason, people seem to perceive these folks get a pass, and that shouldn't be the case. I don't understand that. So I've been frustrated, and I wanted to talk to you about ways of reaching out in our community. I'm just like Sue Aguilar. I want to get educated too. I want to learn how this can happen, but it almost feels like it's condoning, we know what's going on there, so let's just put a trash bag there and this and that and the other thing. Well, I don't know if that's the solution. I'm sorry to drag you into this, but again, I just want people to know, can they reach out to their city councilman to help? What is your purview in all of this? Do you have are you going to be leading it? Where does this all fall in there?
Well, again, the mayor has put together a task force to look at the issue, and they are working on that. And, you know, you probably saw that there was a meeting Saturday that was disrupted and the meeting did not occur. So, but there is work going forward to try to address the problem. And I will stress the word try because
right.
You know, as we know, you can't arrest your way out of this problem. You can't arrest every person who you suspect.
No, but I don't think you can look the other way and tell people, hey, you can do drugs here. We're not going to arrest you because we're not going to arrest ourselves out of the problem. If people just think they can show up and do this wherever they like, that's the part that makes me a little itchy, and I know that's not your...
Well, I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Can you say it more clearly than I can say it? Because I don't want it to sound like this is a safe haven or some kind of oasis for drug users where, hey, just go down to People's Park. They don't care about anything that happens down there. The cops will come pick your needles up afterwards and everybody leaves you alone. I don't know if that's the message either. I'm not saying lock everybody up. I don't think that's accurate. But there has to be something that says, hey, maybe this isn't the place we do it anymore. And B, those who flaunted, I don't know, Tim, but I got small kids and I would like to walk around downtown and you hear all this stuff and you get scared and it is frightening.
Well, I hear you. I hear your frustration, and I understand it. To answer your question, does the city council have a direct influence on it? The council members, of course, can speak up and help address the issue. And if money is necessary and is asked for appropriations, then I think the council definitely would appropriate that money. So, you know, I think that's our purview.
Which is completely fair. You can only do what you can do, and my guess is this starts at the top and works its way down, because if that's an initiative that is viewed as important, like infrastructure or broadband for everybody, when it's important, we'll hear from who it's important from, and then the ball will get rolling, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, people in City Hall are working on this.
Great. So. Well, I appreciate you answering my rant. I don't know if I had any questions.
I want to segue one second.
Please.
You did mention infrastructure, and there's an article in today's HT regarding water issues statewide.
Yes.
And so that, I just wanted to bring that point up, that is the reason the city is going for a rate increase on the water side this year, which you'll probably see it actually in 2018, I believe, is the actual water rate increase.
Doesn't that take a year for the Utilities Commission to go over to make sure the rate is okay?
That is correct.
Okay. And, so that's in that process right now, isn't it, or getting ready to get started?
Well, they had a local meeting. The Indiana Utility Rate Commission came down to Bloomington last week and held a public hearing, and nobody showed up. So, but they will have a rate hearing in, I believe it's the end of February, up in Indianapolis in their chambers. And so city officials will be going up for that rate hearing. And but it's important to know that, you know, our utility, City of Bloomington Utility, has been working on and looking for solutions to that problem. In other words, putting replacing pipe in the ground. And you know, as the article points out, nobody thinks about it because it's buried under the ground.
Yeah, you can't see it. You can only see it when there's a problem and you have brown water in your Flint or some of these other communities.
Exactly. So, you know, CBU is working on it, and that is the purpose of that rate increase, is to rebuild that infrastructure as necessary.
Yeah, that's a hard one to argue with, and you got to have it clean. You've got to have it treated. I think I don't think you're going to find too much blowback on any of that.
That's true.
So again, that's something that just needs to be done. Have we covered everything? Are we in the clear?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think we've covered everything that's on tomorrow night's agenda, 7:30. And just remember, after the first of the year, we'll start at 6:30. This time of year, people think about others who don't have enough and think about them.
Can we meet one more time next week to wrap up 2016? Kind of have a look back,
yeah.
Look around, and I know we wanted to do that, and we can do
most
that.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Actually, our last council meeting will be on the 21st.
Oh, okay.
We'll have a couple more times.
Oh, good. Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that we had. I didn't want to bring you in, like you said, if you didn't have a lot to do, but I think we can look back and look forward as well. It's always fun this time of year to do all of that.
That sounds great.
All right, good stuff as always. Appreciate your listening. Appreciate your insight, and appreciate, again, some of the angles where it's not always commonly thought or commonly seen, and that's why we have you on. Thanks, Tim.
Great. Talk to you next week.
Tim Mayer, City Councilman, checking in with us here on a Tuesday morning. And as you heard him say, he will be with us the 13th and the 20th as well. So we'll have that going before Tim and the council takes a little hiatus for the holidays.